Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Unity Center of Light here in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
We look forward to bringing you this service today. And we always like to remind you that as soon as this service, this part of it's over, we're going to be in our Zoom fellowship. So if you have not ever joined us in the Zoom fellowship, we invite you to do so. It's where you get to interact with your Unity family and just have some community. Also, if you find this message that we're doing to be rewarding and uplifting, we appreciate your donations, and you can determine how to donate by just clicking on the Show More button below if you're watching this on YouTube, and it'll have different ways that you can support Unity Center of Light. And we thank you for all your wonderful donations. And now we're going to get started with Pamela.
Okay, thanks. Well, good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we have the daily word reading for today, July 31st. The key words are let go, let God, and the affirmation is, I bless myself when I let go and let God. If I find myself ruminating over a concern or a weighty decision, I release its grip on my attention by letting go and letting God. When I let go, I am placing my trust in divine mind, the source of infinite potential. I believe there are solutions and remedies of which my limited human mind simply cannot conceive. When I let go, I am trusting the grace of God will bless my life in the most wondrous and even surprising ways. Letting go and letting God is how I live my faith. I surrender to spiritual truth, the presence and power of God, and believe the best outcome is going to be so much better than anything I can imagine. I affirm, I let go and let God and relax into knowing I am deeply loved and abundantly blessed. And the scripture is taken from John 14:1, and it reads, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So I wonder if you're thinking to yourself, what is this title all about? Changing the echoes in your life, all right? And the original thought from this came from a TV series we were watching in which one character was explaining to another that we're connected to each other by echoes, and even as far back as, you know, our ancestors. So if you think about the concept of an echo, it's a repetition of sound caused by reflection of sound waves. And you may have experienced, you know, being somewhere in the mountains, especially if you ever had the pleasure of going to the Grand Canyon, where you yelled out something and heard it reflect back to you. Okay? And the sound reflecting back to you eventually faded, but if you yell the same thing again, you'll hear the same thing echo back to you. Now, this is what we're going to investigate in this lesson. What is our mind yelling into the universe, and what is echoing back to us? So to better understand this concept of the echoes in our lives, let's metaphorically substitute the word memories for echoes. And we'll surmise for the purpose of this lesson that the experiences throughout our lives have created memories that echo in our minds. Hopefully that's making sense. Continuously reminding us of our life experiences, especially, you know, all the time it really comes down to our relationships, where our memories seem to keep us connected to the people in our past that continuously cause echoes of feelings and emotions based on what transpired in those relationships. And yes, there are echoes that lift us up with joy and happiness and inspiration, you know, thoughts that go back, and when you hear them, they just kind of echo, you know, pleasant memories back to you. But at the same time, we know that echoes that seem to keep us down in the valley of despair. And so, you know, we may find that no matter how hard we try, there are echoes we can't seem to stop from reverberating in our minds. And these echoes may be defining our lives more than we want to admit. Or maybe they're defining our lives more than we can admit. So listen to this explanation from an article titled, Echoes of the Past, okay, The Art of Memories. It's written by Muhammad Osman. Okay? And this is what he says. He says, from history and culture to science and technology, every facet of our lives belong to the arbitrary experiences of our basic senses. All have one common thread running through them. They are inherently dependent on the existence of memory. You can only know who you are because you know who you have been, and you know who you have been because you remember. It is quite fascinating how many of the people we first meet upon entering this world form the foundation for what we come to expect of humanity throughout our lives, okay? And this idea that we know who we are because we remember, you know, who we have been, is a perfect application of the concept of memories continuing echoing in our minds as reminders whether or not we want to remember, right? And notice that the author said that the history, culture, science, and technology have had a tremendous impact on shaping the echoes in our minds. And this, you know, idea that the people we first meet upon entering the world, you know, the first faces you see, the first people you interact with, form the foundation for what we come to expect of humanity throughout our lives. That's a powerful clue to helping each of us determine, why am I the way that I am, and why do I believe what I believe, both about myself, about others, and about my life experiences. So there's a wonderful animated movie called Sea Beast. It's on Netflix, and Pam and I were watching it while we were down in the Dominican Republic. And it demonstrates this idea of how old beliefs can echo through generations, causing each generation to embrace a thinking without ever questioning it. So it's about men, you know, seafaring men who dedicate their lives to tracking down and killing and bringing back as trophies giant sea monsters. And it was based on the belief that sea monsters had to be killed before they came on land and destroyed towns and killed all the people. Now, these men were monster hunters because their fathers were monster hunters and their fathers before them. Multiple lifetimes of monster hunters based on the same belief echoing from generations that sea monsters were evil. But a precocious little girl, maybe 10 years old, after researching the history books, discovered that the sea monster killing legend originated from a lie. And through her strength and courage, she stood up against powerful forces and exposed the lie and expelled the illusion that sea monsters were inherently evil. So in effect, she changed the echo that had resounded in the minds of generations of monster hunters. So what are the echoes in our minds that are affecting our lives? Echoes we'd like to change. And the key to this process is recognizing and coming to understand the origins of the memories that are creating the echoes in our minds, constantly reminding us of who we have come to believe that we are. So again, quoting from Muhammad Osman's article, Echoes of the Past, the Art of Memory, he says, I found that even our sense of beauty is intrinsically tied to the early faces we first see and interact with as infants. These early memories inform our sense of self and are critical in formulating our perception of the world as well as our unique personal tastes. Of course, this opens up the discussion of how much of our personal identities is nature and just how much of it is nurture. So this dichotomy is not simply a philosophical rumination, but rather one that can have real world implications. Okay? So now, applying this thinking to those, to, you know, those political powers that are running our country, both our country and what we're seeing around the world. You know, if you apply these same ideas, the decisions that are made that make sense to some and no sense whatsoever to others could be based on how each of us were originally oriented to this earthly experience. What shaped the consciousness of those in power? And likewise, on a more personal level, what shaped our individual consciousness? Which creates the question we ask frequently, who am I really? Okay, that's a question that comes up a lot in these lessons. Now, a person, his name is Marlon Diaz. He says, he explains it this way. He said, the self is but a spark. And within that spark is a total experience and expression of oneself. Growing from birth to adolescence to adulthood, when does the notion of self fully develop? Is it stagnant and constant from birth? Or does it change and evolve with us? Perhaps it is only our expression of self that changes. If so, where are we in all of this? Now, here's the important part of this. Are we the observer, the observed, or are we merely just the audience? Now, I think there are times when we play all three roles, observer, observed, and audience. And as we talked about so many times before, our role as observer of self is, you can say it with me, self-observation without condemnation. An accomplished, one who's really accomplished its self-observation, observing oneself, you know, they learn how to pay attention to their thoughts, feelings, and actions without getting emotionally entangled or lost in them, okay? But, it's the important part. At the same time that we are the ones observing ourselves, we're also the ones being observed by the observer self, okay? So being the observer does not remove us from the role of actually experiencing the thoughts, feelings, and emotions we are observing in ourselves, okay? So we are both the observed, the one experiencing, who is actually going through the thoughts, feelings, and actions or emotions. We're going through it, okay? But we are also the observer. We're watching ourselves go through that process. And we've talked about this in many different ways, okay? So both of these roles demand that we remain conscious of self, conscious of what is echoing in our mind and what is the origin of those echoes. Because much of what is echoing in our minds is not caused by the events we're experiencing right now. Okay, a lot of times the events, and we've talked about this, the events we're experiencing right now are sort of reacting, causing those feelings and emotions to echo from way back. Okay, usually our present experiences are merely reverberating the existing echoes that are already within us. So it is our work as observer of self, to become aware of the origin of their memories that have been creating the echoes. And as the observed, I proclaim, this is how I feel. As the observer, I'm asking, what are the origins of the echoes that are causing me to feel this way? Now, let me say it again, okay? So as the observed, I proclaim, this is how I feel. All right, this is what I'm going through. I'm not denying it. I'm proclaiming, I'm saying this is what I'm going through. But as the observer of what I'm going through, I'm asking, well, what are the origins of the echoes that are causing me to feel this way? Okay? So let me read from Jeremiah 6:7. As a well continually pours out fresh water. Now, let's stick with that. As a well continually pours out fresh water, so it continuously pours out wicked deeds. Okay? Sounds of violence and destruction echo throughout it. All right? Now, we're going to talk about that, but before we examine this scripture, I want you to listen to this explanation of how to interpret or interact with Bible scripture that I think will be helpful in all future scriptures that we read. This is one of the best explanations. You know, we were talking about metaphysical interpretation. Like we do metaphysical interpretation. But this is one of the best explanations I've come across as to why we do not look at scripture literally, okay? And it's from an article titled Echoes in Scripture, Intertextuality. Is from the works of Richard Hayes, okay? So he says, Scripture is not a text with a plain meaning. Rather, meaning is concealed in the text, requiring eschatological, intertextual ingenuity, that's a tongue twister, of the reader to unlock their mysteries, since Scripture is elusive rather than overt in its communication strategies. The text itself is silent. The reader creates the meaning which is found, figuratively speaking, in the white space between the sentences. That the text does not mean what its reader thinks it does is of little significance. So you might be reading it and say, this is what I think it means. It really doesn't matter what we think it means because I love this, because it is still wet. In other words, it's still open for interpretation. I think that's one of the best explanations of how to deal with scripture I've ever heard, okay? So back to the scripture from Jeremiah. As a well continuously pours out fresh water, so it continuously pours out wicked deeds. Sounds of violence and destruction echo throughout it. Now, as we just read, the interpretation of the scripture is really up to us. So we approach it from the context of this lesson, which is changing the echoes in your life. The well is the conscious and subconscious source from which these echoes flow, okay? So if you ever had, stood over a well and you yelled into it, you've experienced the echo coming back at you. Our mental, emotional role in this process of change is to become open to eventually being shown the source of the echoes that are impacting our lives. What is it that keeps coming up in me, keeps echoing through me? What is the source that is creating, that originally started creating that echo? Now, for this, we need a plan, okay? We need to come up with a plan to try to understand what are the dynamics of this, because this is an inside job. Now, to paraphrase a quote from His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, he says, in order to save ourselves, we must have a plan. But no plan will work unless we meditate. Right? In order to save ourselves, we must have a plan, but no plan will work unless we meditate. And so often we're so busy reacting to the events in our lives that we are missing the benefits that can be gained by taking time to stop and reflect on what is happening and compare it to what is important to our spiritual growth and unfoldment. Okay. So a good way to release yourself from the reactionary approach to life is in each situation, stop before you do anything and say nothing. Okay? Say nothing and just ask yourself, am I reflecting or am I reacting to what is occurring in my life right now? Am I reflecting or am I reacting to what is occurring in my life right now? So this question gives you the opportunity to reflect and reconsider your response. Meditate on this question. Am I reflecting or am I reacting? Okay. So meditation engages the role of the observer. So meditation puts us in the observer role, whereas reacting entangles us in the thoughts, feelings, and emotions being observed. Okay. So now, as one source, and I can't quote where this came from, but as one source says, being the observer is more than noticing how you think about yourself or even your behavior. Being an observer of yourself requires that you be aware of very subtle emotions, impulses, and feelings in your body and behaviors. In this state of mind, you'll be able to engage a different mental process. Okay? So meditation gives us a chance to break free of the reactionary cycle we so easily get caught up in. Okay? you know, reacting to what's happening in the news, what's happening in the world. I mean, all these things legitimately engage us in a feeling of reacting to it. But we want to learn how to move into a state of meditation, which gives us a chance to break free of that reactionary circle so we can try to understand what is it in me that is reacting to that. And without a practice such as meditation, we can easily slip into the role of audience, okay? Circling back to the question mentioned earlier, where are we in all of this? Are we the observer, the observed, or merely the audience, okay? And we could probably safely align the concept of audience consciousness with heard consciousness, a state in which we are not thinking for ourselves, but whether we're just mindlessly allowing to echo within us what is happening in the world, what's the general state of the world, okay? So we're just, you know, we're hearing it, and we're allowing that to echo inside of us, and we're not allowing ourselves time to just be still and try to understand what is really happening with us. So paraphrasing the thinking of British physicist James Jean, he says, the problem is, it is believed that the world is one large machine. As parts begin to break down, it's just a matter of applying a fix to that part of the machine. Now, if you think about what's been going on, you know, especially the last couple of years, but, you know, even now, think about that. It's almost like humanity thinks of the world as one big machine, and as one part breaks down, you just, you know, fix that part, and hopefully the machine will keep going. And we see this happening all the time. But he says, we are relieved when a fix is applied. Okay, we go, oh, wow, we got the vaccination, we're good now, or whatever it might be, okay? The fix is applied, we feel relieved that it's happening. But James Jean, says, the world is not one big machine. Now, he's a physicist. He says, rather, it is one big thought, right? That's powerful. And in listening to Marianne Williamson, she shared that in the 20th century, it was all about gaining more, getting more wealth, getting more property, getting more whatever. She says, but the 21st century, she says, the mystics are saying that this is about gaining more consciousness, okay? We're moving into a whole different state. And this means we need to have a whole new way of looking at world challenges. But more importantly, we need a whole new way of looking at ourselves. Because we are also the manifestation of one big thought. We're the manifestation of our consciousness. So what is my plan to change myself holistically? We should be asking. What is my plan to change myself holistically? Not just fix this part, fix that part, but holistically. In the words of the Dalai Lama, again, once I have that plan, am I willing to meditate, think deeply, be open and receptive to divine guidance? And again, listening to Marianne Williamson, she explained that the world is going through a historic phase transition. Okay, now here's just a simple explanation of what a phase transition is. Okay, phase one, ending. You know, something has ended. Something is over. We're forced to let go of something we were comfortable with. We all, again, have been experiencing that in these past 2.5 years and all of our lives. But, you know, as a world, as collectively, we've been doing that. Phase two is a neutral zone. This is where the bridge between the old and the new. Remember, you know, from the biblical experience, this would be considered the wilderness experience. We're not no longer connected to the old, but the new has really not manifest yet. We don't really understand where we're going. It's fluid, it's liquid, okay? That's the neutral zone. In phase three, new beginnings. We begin to embrace the change, okay? So that's just a simple explanation, you know, and we only need a simple explanation of these phases of transition because we know them. Again, because for the past 2.5 years, we have been collectively experiencing them. And had to apply them to our own lives, okay? So as without, so within. These are the phases of transition we must apply to ourselves if we truly want to change the echoes in our minds that have been disturbing our sense of well-being. And back to what the Dalai Lama says, once we create a plan for change, our next step is to meditate. Because meditation is where we are reminded of who we really are. And as it's explained in A Revealing Word, it says, life is divine. Life is spiritual. Life is spiritual. And the source of life is God. The river of life is within our spiritual consciousness. We come into the consciousness of the river of life through the quickening of the Holy Spirit within us. We can only be quickened with new life and vitalized in mind and body by consciously contacting the Holy Spirit. This is summing up what the Dalai Lama is saying about just meditate. And this contact is made through prayer, meditation, and good works. Okay. So I end with this quote from Bishop Stephen Charleston to help us understand what that we are the eachness of the divine, and nothing that happens in this life can change that, no matter how loud the echoes may be. Let me say it again. We are the eachness of the divine, and nothing that happens in our life can change that, no matter how loud the echo might be. And this is how he says it. Says, you are a child of innocence, born to wonder, not wander, but born to wonder all your days. Do not believe your divinity is a gift that can be taken away from you, or that you can lose it somewhere along the way. Not even the hurts you have done or the hurts that have been done to you can steal the light of the divine, of your divine gift from you. It remains in the center of your soul. Your innocence is your hope. It is your vision into your divinity. It is love. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So now, family, I invite you to relax, take a deep breath. Exhale and pause in this moment as you allow the Christ presence within to restore you to your natural balance. Allowing yourself the pleasure of meditation is a gift to yourself. Take this time now to center yourself in the presence of divine life within you. And please take the following words as your very own. As I turn within, I begin by letting go. I let go of any distracting thoughts in my mind. I let go of tension in my body. I let go of anything trying to disturb my peace. As I let go, I begin to experience my natural state of peace and joy in the present moment. I feel the release of any concern previously pressing in on me. I let this gift of freedom fill my mind and my body. Every cell and every atom within are surrounded and enfolded by peace. Letting go is a gift to myself. Letting go allows the good that is always present to be experienced. I allow myself to feel the goodness of God within. My good now unfolds into all areas of my life. My good is established in my mind, my body, and my affairs. Nothing can keep my good from me. And now, knowing this truth for yourself, take this truth into the silence and feel Spirit working in your life and affairs. We thank you, gracious Spirit, that you have heard our prayers this morning and that you have answered them as you always do. And now as we begin to bring this time of meditation to a close, know that you can continue to let go and allow your natural state of good to unfold in every way, moment by moment in your life. And for this and so much more, we give thanks in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is, and forever shall be. Amen. When you are ready, come back and join us.
All right. Well, that was wonderful. So this is the time we ask you to open your hearts and minds. We all open our hearts and minds and allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal life to flow into our spiritual home to support all the things that we enjoy from Unity Center of Light. So I ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit as we say our offering blessing together. Together,
we bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. And now we'll have light notes for Grandma.
We have some light notes for today. We have decided to postpone the Unity Center of Light Fall Retreat at Cape and Springs until next spring. We are concerned about your health concerns and our health concerns, and so we feel we'd give it a little bit more time and try again for the spring. The next in-person hybrid service is going to be August the 7th, and we would like to remind you that if you have already attended the service and you have shown your vaccination card, you do not have to show it again, but you will have to register on the website before attending the church service. And August the 4th, next Sunday, we will have our guest speaker, Kelly Isola from Project Sanctus. She will be our speaker. And that's it for announcements.
I think it's the other way around, sweetie. Next Sunday is the in-person service.
Oh, yes. So she's the Sunday after that.
And just again to reemphasize, if you've uploaded your vaccination information into our website, you don't have to do that again, but you have to register so we can know how many people, right, you know, are coming. We want to keep it to a number that everybody can be safe. So we look forward to seeing you there. All right. And now
we're going to bless the path that we walk this week.
Yeah.
I'm going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. Together, I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right. Let's go right to our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. Hopefully we might see you in Zoom after this. Other than that, stay cool and have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.